We're back.
Hello, hello. That's right, people. We're still alive and kicking over here at the McComas household.
We're back for what is season two, I'm calling it, because it's been a two-year hiatus of the Art of Thriving podcast.
2 years?
A year and a half, something like that. Oh, it's been a long time. So.
Good grief.
Welcome to the Art of Thriving podcast, everyone. We are doing this thing called life. We're figuring it out. We laugh a lot, nervously laugh on this podcast.
That's true.
Have so much plans. Not really. That's actually a lie. We don't have a ton of plans, but we have a lot to talk about because there's a lot going on in our world, and we hope it's helpful
to track
with us. So.
And if nothing else, you will waste 20 minutes of your time today.
Yes, we do keep these reasonably short, so you can get a workout in or lay in the hammock in the backyard if you need to and listen to us. Have our little therapy session. It's like a creative outlet for us. So.
That's right.
But we're glad to be back. It's fun for us. It's good for us. And I'm Matt McComas.
And I'm Jody McComas.
Yeah, welcome to our little world. How are you, Jody, this morning?
I'm doing good. Had a couple guests last night. I always love when former students come through town and stay at our house. I love to host and catch up with people.
Good people.
Yeah, that was really fun.
So it's a Wednesday. You were out of the house early.
I was.
Hanging out with Jim.
The sun these days comes up really early. So yeah, I like to go to the gym, and Matt likes to refer to it as gym. I go hang out with Jim.
Hanging out with Jim early in the morning, people.
That's right. I hate Jim. He's mean to me all the time, but you know, it's good for my health.
It is.
So I do it. It's good for my stress level. I gotta get to the gym. That's one of the things that
keeps
me thriving.
I was sleeping still.
Matt was sleeping. It's true.
That's what I do. 6 in the morning. All right, it's been a long time, so let's do a family update.
Oh, good grief.
And it's going to be hard to cover everything that's happened in a year and a half, because it's been a lot. We've got some big things coming taken place. So let's fly through these. We'll probably hit these in the future episodes, too, about what we're learning and experiencing along the way. But the big one is, well, one of the big ones is work change.
Yes.
It's a new world for us, right?
It is a new world. After 16 and a half years, we left the ministry that we were working with full-time and part-time for the last year.
Missionary dropouts.
That's right.
Quitters. And
we're not quitters. Come on now. We've worked through that identity crisis.
I don't know if I've fully worked through that identity crisis. But maybe we need to revisit that.
Matt needs further therapy in that area, but I have worked through it.
So the big change was that we left full-time kind of vocational ministry work and now are small business owners.
That's right.
Living that out. So we now share a desk, which we're sitting at right now with a microphone. And
most days we do that really well together.
Most days. It's one big long desk and I have headphones that I can put in
because
I have this thing about being interrupted. I just cannot handle being interrupted when I'm trying to do work. It drives me nuts.
Okay. It goes both ways, buddy.
It does go both ways.
But yes, I still have a job where I talk to a lot of people during the day and I like to converse occasionally.
And I'm way more of an introvert than I thought I used to be. Is that what I mean to say? I think so. So I'm happy to be alone for most of the day, not talking to anybody.
Most of the time I am too. I think we're both introverts. And let's just say working at home can make introverts even more introverted, and I don't want to get weird. So we still need to get some outings in there.
We do. We have to not be like... I don't want to rag on homeschoolers, but we could turn into like the stereotypical homeschooler eventually where we're not good socially.
That's right.
Socially awkward.
Don't want to be that.
Yeah.
But yes, so we had a huge work change.
That's a big one.
We're adjusting to that reality still. We're adjusting. That's only like a month in.
Yep. Yeah. And there's a lot to it. We'll probably talk about the identity piece a lot. Like how does vocation play into identity and in our world, kind of the faith side of things too. What does that mean for faith and to go from working for God, quote unquote, to being in the marketplace. What does that mean and look like? So we'll talk more about that.
Yes.
So the other big one is, our health stuff with our daughter. She's diagnosed with scoliosis in January.
January 11th.
It is now April. No.
Nope. May. It's May. That's right, you guys. This year, that's what's happened.
2018, you guys.
2018 has kind of been like a kick to the face multiple times every month, really. But, you know, we're rolling with it.
I described it as body blows in a boxing match, but she describes it as a kick to the face. So maybe we have different experiences. I don't know. So our daughter was diagnosed with scoliosis, pretty severe, in January. So it's been a journey and like a whirlwind figuring that out, trying to avoid surgery. So we're doing all this stuff, therapy, daily therapy. She's working hard to do all that. She's wearing a pretty significant back brace, 21 hours a day, all that. So it's been crazy, honestly. It's been hard, really, really hard, but really good and beautiful at the same time. And mm-hmm. She's doing awesome. Like, she's kicking butt and taking names. I would not be able to do what she's doing.
No, let's just be honest. Our daughter is more mature than we are and has a better attitude most days.
Which we'll talk about in a second about how I'm trending towards pessimism right now in life and how to fight for optimism. So our daughters are really good. She's good at being optimistic and positive about things.
That's right. And she's very disciplined. There aren't many children in the world who can do over 2 hours of therapy a day and wear a very, very
uncomfortable
brace for 21 hours. And she's doing it with a great attitude.
Yeah. But it's been a journey, even getting stuff figured out with like PE at school, doing those forms and, you know, accessibility issues, even if like church youth groups and stuff, like figuring out what it looks like for a middle schooler who's not as mobile to do all this stuff in life. And
yes, we have an even greater appreciation for any special needs that your kid might have. And you have to be such an advocate, and it takes a lot of energy to do that. And we want to do it well, but we definitely have had our eyes opened to that world.
Yeah, for sure. Enough about our daughter, our son. So we have so our daughter is 11. Our son is seven. Mm-hmm. Seven. So he is, how would you describe him?
Isaac is great. He's amazing. He is a ball of energy, the extrovert of the family.
He's funny. He laughs a lot. Funny. He bought a trampoline at a yard sale the other day with his own money, and now he just bounces on the trampoline in the backyard.
That's right. That boy does not wait to take initiative. He gets it done.
He talks to adults like they're his best friends.
That's right. Yeah. He does. He's going to be a world changer. We just always pray that it'll be in the great way and not the the other direction.
Exactly. So kids are good. We're hanging in there. We'll talk more about this, but it has been a whirlwind of a year. So we're looking forward to hopefully kind of moving past this first half of the year and into something that's a little more, I don't know, not crazy maker.
I don't know. I might be on the pessimistic side as well. I'm like, I don't know. Chalking up 2018 to just
maybe we just need to fast forward to 2019.
That's right.
Okay, but I gotta mention, we did watch the Netflix series. What's it called? Wild Wild Country or something?
Yeah, something like that.
About the Bhagwan. The Bhagwan. If you guys don't know, you need to look it up on Netflix. This is a series about a cult or a group of people that landed in Central Oregon, where Jody's from.
That's right, you guys. I remember this.
She joined, actually. No, that's not true. Don't spread that around the internet. She was aware of them when she was younger.
That's right. I was very aware. I vividly remember.
And they all wore these red and orange
outfits. Yeah. I mean, I remember. I remember seeing it when I was a little kid and on the news. And we drove up there and saw the whole commune, if you will, if that's what you want to call it.
So when you watch that on Netflix, just think about how Jody almost joined
this community. Oh my goodness gracious.
To hang out with the Bhagwan.
Yes.
I just like saying the Bhagwan.
Those are all lies.
I know. We may talk about
fake news.
Fake news. About the desire everyone has for community and how that was a really interesting look at kind of fleeting community that was, I don't know, destroyed eventually. So.
Yes. Oh,
I just ruined it. I just gave it away.
I think we all know that it's not there anymore. No longer there. And ironically, it is now
it's a Young Life camp.
Young Life camp.
Which is cool. Which is great.
Yeah.
So an amazing Young wild. Life camp. Okay, books you're reading? What are you reading?
Well, I just finished a book called Before We Were Yours. I believe that is the title. And amazing. It was about sad because it's based on the true story about kids who were stolen and taken from families and those who didn't have money and were adopted out, and their lives were basically erased and parents were lied to, and it's based on a true story. Okay. And it was horrifying, but also a really great book. And oddly feels very similar to so much of what we see in the world right now, which is so disheartening to me.
So you're just reading terrible books.
Yeah, that was oh, but it was so good.
Why was it good though?
Well, because I think it's good to have our eyes open to those things and, yeah, not be blind to it. But it was just a good story. And even there was redemption in it. And these, you know, some of the families were reunited eventually. So there was some hope and redemption. But, you know,
okay,
it was a good story. But I'm also reading the book Girl, Wash Your Face, which is awesome. Loving it. There's something lots of good makeup. Stuff. No, there's nothing about makeup.
Okay. What's it about?
It's about going after your goals and dreams, and no one else is going to do it for you. You have to care about it more than anyone else. Man, she's got some hard truths in there. I should share some of those quotes.
I need to read it.
Yeah, it's good.
Is it only for women?
No, but it is designed for women, but there's stuff in there that's for anyone.
Yeah, totally. Okay.
Yeah.
I am reading this book called Leaving Church.
I just finished that one, and I loved it, actually.
A memoir of faith written by Episcopalian pastor, gal.
Barbara Brown Taylor.
Fascinating. Also about her search for identity when she leaves kind of full-time vocational ministry. Very interesting.
Yep.
Not completely sure I agree with everything, but interesting story.
Yep, I resonated with a lot of stuff in there. Not everything, but a lot of it, which was great.
Second one I'm reading is called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. Obviously a Christian book, has the word gospel in the title. But it's written by Rosaria Butterfield, who sometime we should invite her on the podcast. Can we do that? Like, we're
I'm sure
well-known podcast now.
Can we be a guest.
Interview her? But she was a practicing lesbian, lived in the LGBTQ world for years and years, and pretty... an advocate, like vocal, gave her life, surrendered her life to Jesus, to follow Jesus, and then is now married with a family. And it's interesting because she refers to that part of her life, but this is more about just hospitality, like how she lives out hospitality for the world now and mm-hmm. how it's good and shapes her and her family and her view and how it's hard, but good too. So it's interesting. Also, again, there's bits and pieces that I still have questions about, but really good. Interesting story for sure.
I'm also a few chapters into that one.
Are you?
I'm always reading about.
We bought a lot of books recently, and since they're waiting for us,
that's right.
And I end up reading about 2/3 of each one.
Oh, that makes me crazy! You got to finish a book, even if it's bad. I finish a book almost always.
I can like stop a movie or a TV show partway through and just be like on to the next thing.
Nope, no can do.
I'm not as loyal or committed to finishing things as you are. Sorry.
Right. You like to start things, and I am the finisher.
Are you? Okay. I'll remember that.
Yep.
Okay, so let's get into the meat of what we're talking about today.
No, that wasn't the meat.
No, that was just the update.
Okay, what are we talking about?
Okay, we're talking about, let's start with these questions. One thing, I don't want to make this too deep and overwhelming on the first episode of season 2, but here you go. What is one thing that is irritating you right now?
If only I could choose one.
Only one. You can only choose one.
I can't. I can't choose just one.
Okay, so maybe you could answer, what is one thing that's irritating you, like, locally or close by? Or
close by, well, oh, man. Then I have to pick two, because close by would be some issues that we're having with school. With, you know, being in public school and trying to get...
issues.
Some things worked out with
with
administration and
emails.
Not my favorite right now.
And advocating for our kids.
That's right. And when they take away parents' rights and think that they can do what they can do, and it is not my cup of tea.
Mama Bear is awakened.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Got some issues.
Yeah. Yeah, the hard thing is all that just takes time and effort that we're trying to figure out how to manage all that too.
Mm-hmm.
Difficult. One thing global.
One.
What's the biggest thing you're thinking about?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is, again, kids being taken and stolen from their families. These people who are coming for, you know, to seek refuge in our country and being, yeah, abused, sexually exploited. Kept in detention camps. I mean, it's like, it's just disgusting. It disgusts me.
Total mess.
Yeah, it's breaks my heart. So right now, and the fact that, you know, it's happening now, it's happened for years. It's not a brand new thing, but it continues to happen. And I just cannot fathom it.
Yeah, totally. Okay, so yeah, brutal, heartbreaking. And I mean, the news in general is so difficult. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one thing that's irritating me locally, I don't really like when I say locally, like in my personal world, paying self-employment taxes.
Oh,
yeah. I don't know if that's irritating. It's irritating.
Well, Oregon is one of the highest.
Feels like a tax for those that are trying to innovate and create and start businesses in the world. So for the first time ever, we've had to pay a pretty big self-employment tax chunk of money. We did plan ahead and save, so that's good. But writing that check to the federal government and the state of Oregon was painful.
Yeah, and we don't make $1 million, so it's
yeah, it's difficult. Awful. So that's frustrating. I got one other local thing. I had to buy new tires for a car the other day. Oh,
so lame. That's like putting a roof on your house.
Yeah.
The worst things to pay for. But the thing was,
everybody has all-wheel drive around here, right? So when you wreck a tire, which ours like got cut in the sidewall, I don't even know what that means. but it means it's not repairable on one tire. But because they're all-wheel drive, and because they had worn just enough tread off, you can't just replace that one or else you're be all out of whack with alignment or whatever. So you have to pay for all four.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I was expecting like a $20 fix-a-flat expense, and it was like $600 later for new tires. Ugh.
Yeah.
Being an adult.
Adulting. It's
the
worst.
That's what our 2018 feels like. That's the adulting, the bad connotations of adulting feels. That's what 2018 feels like in our world.
Yep. Right now. It's true.
But there are some good things.
That's right. There's always good things.
And that's what I want to talk about. So what is one thing right now that you're encouraged by?
Oh, man. Well, I was encouraged yesterday that a group started a fundraiser. They raised $1 million in 9 hours for this situation that we have going on at our borders and for children that are in these detention camps. You might as well call them.
Yeah.
What are they? The camps,
yeah.
You know, like in the Holocaust and such.
Internment camps.
And that's exactly what it is. And they raised $1 million in 9 hours. That is amazing to me.
Yeah, totally amazing. It's a brutal situation, but people responded. So there's good. There's some helpers, as Fred Rogers always says. Look for the helpers, right? And Brandon Harvey, our friend Brandon Harvey.
We love Brandon
Which you
Harvey.
Should follow his podcast, which is like the good podcast or something. Brandon Harvey podcast? I don't remember.
Yes, and his newspaper, which is called The Good Newspaper.
We'll have him on the podcast sometime, too. He'd probably do it.
He might.
We didn't know him. He's like a famous big-time social media star now, but he had Easter dinner in our house. He was a Portland State student, so we interacted with him a lot.
That's right. He's wonderful.
He's a great guy. Anything else? I guess you could have two things if you really wanted.
Yeah, I think, we've continued to see people support and cheer us on and our daughter on. We did a 30-day plank challenge this month because Jenna has to do planks, you guys, every day. And it's hard and it's easy to leave those out. And so we did this challenge and hundreds of people have been doing this with us and sending letters, like notes and texts and pictures of them planking with us. Man, it's awesome how the community supports and rallies around people when they're in a hard spot. And so that has really buoyed me, I feel like, and Jenna.
Yeah. Sorry, my chair is really squeaky. Sorry. Sorry, everyone.
That for me has been really sweet.
Plus, we're all getting shredded abs.
That's right. And rock hard abs for summer. So we can really show off our bikini bods.
Yeah, I'll put on my bikini. Okay, for me, I think the most encouraging thing for me is watching my daughter do the deed of therapy and meeting all the benchmarks of her physical therapy. I mean, just as far as discovering who she is and the grit that she has inside her, that's been amazing.
Yep.
On another level, probably friends. I think friends inviting us to things like dinner and just hanging out at the park behind our house with our neighbors. I think those types of things where I'm just relationally at ease with people who care for us and love us well. I think that's been awesome. Speak kind of words of encouragement to us. That's been so great to have people like that in our worlds. Mm-hmm. The one other thing I'd say too is there are, I don't know what it is, but this is like the summer of weddings for us. Like,
yeah, we've had tons of invitations and just went to a really, really amazing wedding. Have a friend
of
mine.
Yeah, yeah. So we went to like the fanciest wedding I've ever been to in my life. But these are great, great down to earth people, and we love them, and we're so excited about them and the future of their marriage. And
yeah,
just really, it's such a sweet thing. I just don't take it for granted anymore that watch great people get married and move into marriage, kind of eyes wide open, but committed to one another to live out sacrificial love to one another. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So super encouraged by that.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've been talking a lot about, kind of on a personal note, like how to avoid cynicism or not get sucked into the downfall of cynicism about the world. And I mean, we've been, like we said, personal circumstances in 2018 just kind of seems like a bunch of body blows trying to take us down, but it's hard. Like, it's hard. How do you maintain hope? How do you, it's hard not to be consumed by cynicism, or just move off the road of life into the ditch of belief of where you just think for us, God is not involved and doesn't give good gifts and doesn't have good intentions toward us. And because we don't want to be our expectations to be ruined or be disappointed by things. So we just live in cynicism all the time. But that's not good, right?
Nope.
I mean, the end result is that we're not thriving in life. Like, we're stuck in a rut. We're very self-focused. And we're missing opportunities to engage with the world around us and people and relationships and all that, too. Mm-hmm. It becomes a kind of a downward, nasty little spiral. Mm-hmm. But it's hard because we look at local things. Our city's a little, there's things that are messed about our city. There's great things, but it's kind of a mess. Political culture, global issues, like you said, it's hard not to be overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. So what do you do to manage this?
Well,
and I don't even mean like management, like behavior management isn't the goal here. Probably it's more like a viewpoint or perspective or fighting for, a life that is.
Right. But there are things that you have to do to stay healthy, both mentally.
So it's intentionality.
It's intentionality.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, it's because taking care of health in my body, like working out and listening to podcasts while I'm there, things that are hopeful. Like I listen to Brandon Harvey and people that speak hope into my day, keeping perspective and
so there's
prayer and like the word of God. But perspective, keeping perspective outside of myself. And I think that you have to be really blind to not see that there are good things in every day, no matter how hard it is.
Right.
I mean, there are helpers and there's blessings in it all. And so making a choice to look for those things every single day.
Yeah. So there's such an intentionality, like a decision, an act of the will decision to focus on those things. Otherwise, I think, for me at least, I'm going to default toward trending toward cynicism or frustration or overwhelmness. And
right.
Naturally, I will be bent toward that rather than optimism, positivity, hope. I mean, I think hope is a bit like a word from hope or belief that things can get better is where I want to land.
Yep. And even doing things to serve other people, like actually taking action, whether that is taking a meal to a neighbor or hosting someone who's coming through town, like doing things that serve other people.
Contributing.
For me, yeah. Brings hope in a small way every single day.
Yeah.
Like doing the small acts of goodness and.
Yeah, doesn't necessarily have to be a huge, let's launch $1 million business
exactly.
campaign thing.
Right.
Let's walk across the street and take our hurting neighbor a, I don't know what, tacos?
Yeah, that's right. That is exactly it.
So it's really funny too. I think it really is a mindset for me, but one thing you need to know about me is I'm drawn towards like very melancholy, sad movies, which you don't like.
I do sometimes.
You're always like, well, that was a real pick-me-upper.
Well, because there's so much of it in the world, I don't want to...
But I was thinking about these movies, and I think all of them were pretty sad or show off the brokenness of the reality of life, the human condition, all that. But all of them, I think, have some sort of vision of hope, renewal, restoration, whether it's relationships or whatever. And I think for me, that fosters like a belief that there is hope in the brokenness of things around me, mm-hmm. in the refugee system, the immigration system in the U.S., in our local government, in our public schools, all those sort of things. There is hope, and that I'm invited in. Like, that's the thing, too, like, that it's not, things aren't going to get better if people like you and me and people out there listening or good people stay silent or don't act. Like, I think we go into it with eyes wide open that there's things that are wrong, there's brokenness, and then we're standing up and saying, this is not the way things should be, and it's going to take some work to lean in and make some change.
Yep. You have to show up and be willing to make a difference in some way.
Yeah, in a way that you can handle in your life with the capacity you have and the season of life you're in, for sure. Mm-hmm. There's a balance there, too. You cannot fix everything.
Nope.
Yeah.
And it looks different in different seasons of your life.
Yep. But we're invited into the process, I think. I think that comes from my probably biblical framework. I also, one thing you need to know about me is I'm a seminary dropout as well, too. So,
we're just
but I did, pay, I did. I got good grades. I just dropped out eventually. So this is the problem. I start things and then don't finish them, including. So interesting. See, this is therapy for me. Learning about myself. But hope. So keeping one eye on the future that there is hope. And yeah, not living in kind of unicorns and fairy tales land that everything is okay, but actually acknowledging that stuff is hard and stepping in to help with a vision of what could be fixed or changed or made better.
Yep.
On a very practical note, to keep out of cynicism, I have to limit my news intake, though.
Absolutely. I mean, we just don't turn on the news in the house, but even just online, too. Not watching a lot of it.
Or, yeah, just even Facebook scrolling. I mean, we use Facebook quite a bit for businesses stuff. But just to when I get sucked into threads or whatever, there's certainly time and place to stand up, and I want to stand up for what is right. But I have to be careful to guard my time to keep myself healthy.
Yep. All right, we should wrap this up.
Okay, we should wrap this up. Thanks for joining us today on Season 2, Episode 1. More to come. So much good stuff to come. We have so much planned for you. It's amazing. We'll work on planning. Okay. We hope your day is wonderful. Your journey of life is meaningful and significant. And hope you fight for hope in your home, in your neighborhood, in your place of work, around the world, wherever you're at. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you, too. We just launched our Instagram account. You can find us at The Art of Thriving. And you can also find us on theartofthriving.net, our website, where we have some resources. And we'd love to connect with you and hear from you. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for joining us.